Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions expressed during this show are those of the host and or guests, and not necessarily those of AMC Press and Company's affiliates and sponsors. Language and content may be found inappropriate for minors, therefore, listener discretion is advised.
Yes, it's Allison and Rod here.
Yes, good evening.
Yes.
Everyone. So, do you like hotels? If you do, you can save 20% at bestwestern.com, and if you're with your mate or significant other, you can get 20% off one item only at adamandevetoys.com. Use the code AECOUPON at checkout. This item expires on the 6th of this month, which is June 30th. Which is in 4 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, three if you're counting, and 2014. So, this, our first topic of the night, cartoons and Bill Waterston. Well.
Yeah.
Well, Bill Waterston in the 1990s through 1995 created this very, very cool, and I got into it later in life, comic, the much-beloved Calvin Hobbes. Now, for those of you who don't know what Calvin and Hobbes is, Calvin is this little kid that grew up in Ohio and pretty much had a huge imagination. So he would pretend that there's a tiger named Hobbes there. If I'm getting that right, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And, you know, since this is a disability podcast, I mean, this comic is rather cool. You know, if you want to see exactly what it's about, there's a really famous or infamous documentary that's just getting within the last year, we've just made, last 2 years, called Dear Mr. Waterston. And it's about, it's about Calvin and Hobbes and the fandom of Calvin and Hobbes. But, so, Allie, what did he do exactly?
Sorry?
I mean, has he reached... He's returned to Earth, right? He's returned to...
Yeah, he's been... He hasn't been in the limelight. However, he's coming back, which is great for those fans.
Well, I mean, I'm a huge fan of his. I mean, my favorite one, since I got introduced to them by a friend of mine, is the one where he's in the classroom and he goes into dreaming, which often, you know, Calvin is want to doing, and so he does that and goes into dreaming. And so he dreams of the teacher's dinosaurs. And so he goes into the teacher's lounge, and there are dinosaurs playing cards, dinosaurs eating sandwiches, dinosaurs eating grading papers, dinosaurs giving you grades, dinosaurs talking about the stock market. It's very funny. I mean, and then what he thinks of his fellow students, and so what the comic is basically is taking you know, comics in general have this view that is very cool in they can express anything.
Right.
You know, they can express it from any angle, from any point of view, and probably the most important Calvin and Hobbes quote that I can impart that there has been you know, numerous things said about it. But you know, it's very funny. It like there's one that's about geniuses and he goes, I'm a misunderstood genius. And he goes, what's misunderstood? Nobody thinks I'm a genius. You know, and this is a kid. This is a kid who mainly thinks extremely highly of himself, but he can't really bring himself to say it, you know. And so it's, you know, the point of view of any artistic art form is to create meaning. And Bill Waterston said to himself, you know, I'm just going to do this for myself.
Right.
You know, I'm going to do this for myself. And that's what most artists do.
Hasn't the whole comic arena changed as well?
It has. I mean, 16 years ago in the 1990s or 17 years ago, there still is the syndicate, but it's dwindling. Everybody now is going to webcomics. Comics Rings is getting rich in smaller files rather than conglomerates. You know, their responsibility was to sell your strip, right, historically. Right, I can get it's almost like somebody picking up a piece of paper or any paper and reading the funniest. You know, there are eight
funnies.
And so the model back in those days was, well, draw, 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 then submit, 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 and submit some more. If you're lucky,
right,
you got to get to a syndicate. Somebody publishes your work, and they write you a check, and they write your contract. And so you're contracted to that magazine to draw X amount of comics
right,
a day. And so the thing about Calvin and Hobbes is that, you know, Bill Waterston, we're lucky that he's still alive, and because he's
right,
come back. He's come back in, you know, in the 1990s. He used to be, oh, yeah, I'm going to wait till next Saturday and open the funny papers. And there you'd see
right,
Garfield, The Family Circus, Vito Bailey,
right,
Calvin and Hobbes, Peanuts. But in the 1990s, when Charles Schulz died, that's another one. If you want to read about his life, go to Schulz and Schulz, a biography, I believe. That's another one that is great. And it's all about the creation of Peanuts and how Peanuts was created, and also there's a documentary about that as well. I don't know where to find it out, but the thing about comics now is that they're web comics and now they're mass-produced and getting rich in, on pennies versus dollars.
Right.
You know, the only ones in reported history who have actually made out to advertisers and
made it huge on stuffed toys, Peanuts, Calvin and Hobbes has never been made into a movie. Peanuts has been made into plenty of movies because of commercialism.
Right.
And then you have Little Orphan Annie. But what's becoming rapidly apparent now is all these cartoonists, right, are basically not going broke, but just trying to figure out another way to display their art form.
Right.
And the crazy thing about it is there's a, which is actually done by Bill Waterston, has come back. And he's come back. If you want to look at what Bill Waterston has done, right, you can look at Calvin and Hobbes, which is a few decades old, which never gets old. Or you can go to, it's now all around the net. You know, you can go to the most recent, as of 21 hours ago, not even a day ago. And the most recent person to pull Bill Waterston out of retirement was the author of Pearls Before Swine. And so the comic says, "Hi, Mr. Pastels. You're drawing a croc scene." "Yes, Libby, I am. And let me guess, you can draw it better. Well, you know what? Here's my pen. Lib, knock yourself out." And the next pamphlet, you see two dinosaurs. One says, "Ugh, Stefan, that takes like shit." Steve would say, "Good readings. Now we draw this strip funnier already." "Oh, I don't approve," says the art teacher. "Try again." But the middle strip is by Waterston.
Oh.
You know. But the thing is that with this whole thing is that they were gonna raise money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. And which is for Parkinson's disease, because they said, well, the Pearls author, Pastais, said, well, maybe we can work together again. And Waterston is very, very reclusive, you know, doesn't like to talk about stuff. And so he said, fine, you know, I guess he said fine, because obviously he's there.
Right.
And the thing about his humor, it's universal. It's like Schultz's humor with Snoopy or anything. I don't know if that's that far back, but it's, I as a playwright, I think in this sort of thing, because of the fact that although scenes are scenes and monologues are monologues, comic strips are comic strips, you know, you have panels. Panels are like scenes. You know,
right.
So there are two people talking, you know. And the thing about comics is that people don't think that they're a fad. You know what I mean?
Right.
People actually say, "Oh my God,
this
it's actually not me."
Right. This is amazing. This is something that I want to see more of.
And
where can we get more of this?
The funny thing is that you know, with this new So what was funny about how they got communicating, right? There's a section of this article, if you go to StephenPassis.wordpress.com, he details in which and how they started working. It opens by saying he's a legend, he's a recluse, and like Bigfoot, there's only one photo of him that is in existence. A few in the cartooning world have ever spoken to him, even fewer have met him. But in fact, legend has it. When Steven Spielberg called to see if he wanted to make a film, Bill wouldn't even take his call. So it was with little help that I said to try out and meet him last April. I was traveling through Cleveland on a book tour and knew that he lived somewhere in the area, and I knew that he would be working with the Washington Post, Nick Galifianakis, on a book about cul-de-sac cartoonist Richard Thompson's art. So I took a shot and wrote Nick, and in turn Nick wrote to Waterston, and the meeting didn't happen. Bill apparently had something to do, or more likely, wanted nothing to do with me, which is smart. But Nick encouraged me to send an email to Bill anyways. I did. I said what I didn't want to bother him, but a week or so later, this prose strip ran in some newspaper. Newly single Steven tries picking up women. I couldn't help, and this is a college strip, so it's apparently two, a man and a woman, at a bar. I couldn't help but noticing you're reading the comics page. You know I draw that comic strip. Oh, yeah? Which one? Have you ever heard of Calvin and Hobbes? That was wrong. And I figured it was a good time to write him as any, so I emailed him the strip, thanked him for all the great work and influence he had on me, and I never expected to get a reply. Well, what do you know? He wrote back. And let me just tell you, just getting an email from Bill Waterston is one of the mind-blowing, surreal experiences I've ever had. Bill Waterston really exists, and he sends emails, and he's communicating with me. But he was. He had a great sense of humor about the strip, and was very funny. And, oh, yeah, he had a comic strip idea he wanted to run by me. Now, if you had asked me, what are the odds of Bill Waterston ever saying that line to me, I'd say I'd had the same likelihood as Jimi Hendrix telling me that he had a guitar riff, and yes, I was aware Hendrix was dead. So I wrote Bill back. Dear Bill, I'll do whatever you want, including setting my hair on fire. So he wrote back and explained his ideas. So it's kind of funny. I mean, that's all I'll read about it. But if you want to go see the actual article that was read on the webcast or the podcast tonight, we will have it in the show notes for you.
Yes.
To go back and read, because it is very funny. It does show, you know, how much a person has on this world.
Right. It's like you can't just not. Everyone would love to work with him, but he's super selective, too. It's like,
I mean, I can say for myself, I'm very selective. I mean, I'm not a newbie to this business, but I'm a newbie as a playwright. And I'm very selective with who I go after. You know, most people, you know, if they wanted to work with me, one, they would have to pay me. That's number one. Two, I'm all for ideas, ladies and gentlemen. I don't refute ideas. But, and number three, you know, that just shows you how good a person is, you know. and all of that. I mean, it's a great thing, just in terms of that. Now, also, with Calvin and Hobbes and the awesome return of Bill Watterson, even if it's only for three comics, hopefully it's not. Hopefully, I do not want to jinx it. I don't want to put the Shiksa on it. I'm not going to put the Shiksa on it. But, you know, I hope he stays around. I really do. I hope it's not just this one. So, yeah. So now...
Now we're off to speak about the Tonys, which were last night, and... Both of us enjoy our theater.
Yes, as we know. The thing about the Tonys is they happen every year, and every year they're different because of the shows. And as soon as the Tonys end, well, that
the shows keep
that,
on going, too.
Well,
get more popular.
Well, the shows keep on going, the shows that win awards keep on going, and the shows that don't. Well, they close early, and the semester for adapting new shows and making money and helping a thing be put on, you know, to put on Broadway, new projects come and new projects go.
Right.
Just
like
so,
how they're having, there's quite a bit of...
among the facts are that in the industry that I'm in, that Allison is approaching to be in, is that once the Tonys, the one night where everything comes together, right? New projects. I mean, then it's time for producers to jump in the water and then produce new shows.
Right.
Which means new projects, which means more money, which means a lot of things. And, you know, they get in on the ground floor, and then, we hope for the best, and we hope they land for the Tonys, and we hope that the project goes their way,
and
we hope a
Jesse
lot of things.
And Jesse Mueller.
Yep.
Mueller from Beautiful, the Carole King musical, won for Best Actress.
Yeah, and
so
it's pretty
that
cool.
Means
That's going to be running for a long time. I mean, it's a young musical. So,
along with Aladdin as well, the genie as well got it.
Yep, the genie got it. And A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, which is a farce about one person playing about 8 different characters. Which is kind of fun, but there were some, besides the musicals, there were really poignant plays that won All the Way, which is about LBJ, won, and that was cool. But watching it with the people I was watching with producers. So I was watching with producers of Beautiful, producers of Penguin and Angry Inch, producers of Aladdin, producers, you know, all of these producers hauled up.
I think they get the point. Let's not make it a...
But anyway, point is, it was fun. However, when you're a person in that room, one bit of advice, don't speak, just let them have their fun. But anybody,
right.
Everybody's there to have their fun.
Right.
Their own bit of fun. But yeah, I mean, it was It was a fun night. I think Hugh Jackman did a really good job as host. I don't get what all the hopping was about into Radio City, but,
and they also
had
a live simulcast around, all around Broadway. They had a simulcast at theaters, at the houses, so.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I found that out. Even though I was paying attention to all of the live feeds and everything that was going on, which ended up really, I knew what was going on, even without watching. It was more of, okay, who's performing? Okay, saw Carole King was there backstage with Jesse Mueller, which we had the pleasure of seeing.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of seeing, and that was kind of awesome.
Yes.
It was kind of awesome because it was on my birthday. It was also my birthday, and to get to see her, and the fact that it is a great musical. It is just, the thing is, when you, it's a great musical, it's very young, you know, but it's also about Carole King, and so if you want to read her biography.
Which is awesome.
Which is great. It is great. But her biography is Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And it's written by her. The audiobook is available on Amazon or iTunes and Amazon and all that.
Didn't she also not want to see her life play on screen or play her life before her?
Well, her life, she didn't want her life to be played out. And the thing is with that, it's kind of, well, not the point, you know what I mean?
Right.
The point is that viewers, when you, when you win a Tony, right, people think, oh, you know, you go on stage, say your acceptance speech, and then you get out. No, there's about an hour's press before you have to get back to your seat. You're going back, and it's rather incredible.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
You know, but in terms of Carole King, she didn't want it. She didn't want to see it, and she found it very hard to. To accept it. But at the same time, it's very good that she won because, it is just very good that she won. And it's very good that all of these guys won because there's just some brilliant stuff out there. You know, and when you go into any project could be a Tony Award winner. You just have to pick the people involved, the best people.
Right.
So.
Right.
That's
so with
really
anything. That's with running a business. You don't want someone who's not going to pull their weight. I know, I wouldn't.
No, you don't want that. But you do want the people, the best people for the job. And when you have those things, dreams do come true. You know, it takes hard work, but they have the possibility of coming true. That's really it.
Right.
And that's the best advice I guess both of us could give all of you is pick the best people that you think that you would, if you're doing a production of anything or anything in general, like a radio show or a play or a movie or a comic, okay, or any art form except for painting, right? Pick the best people, pick the brightest people, and pick the people who are smarter than you. So they make you look twice as good.
Yeah, it's like you can't not say, oh no, I'm just going to dick around and fuck around.
You can't say I'm going to dick around. But you can dick around in the fact that then your excuse is, I'm looking for the right people. You know, that's really it.
But how far would that be able to get over, too?
Good point. Good point. I mean,
people will always find out that the whole power of oh, wait, yeah, you're supposed to be doing this. And then, oh, no, you... Oh, no, you were doing something else.
You're supposed to be doing this, and then they don't do it. Well, that's their fault. It's your fault for hiring them, but it's not your fault because they didn't do the job. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah.
So.
And that's a very good thing to know. Is people might say, oh, no, this people aren't pulling weight, but in hindsight, people can only do so much. There's only so many hours in a day as well, so you can't just say, oh, no.
Well, there's so many hours a day. If you start at 6 o'clock in the morning, there's plenty of hours a day. If your hours are 6 a.m. to about, I'd say 5, you'll get stuff done.
Right.
I mean, but then if you're in my position as a writer, Right.
Yeah,
as well as
our show. The show.
Well, this show and the other show, you're doing double duty and you create work for yourself. But anyway,
crane work is far easier than...
What?
Creating work is the best thing.
Yeah. If you don't have work to do, you create work. And then suddenly you have work to do. And then people join on to that creative work. So, yeah. So, on to our next topic.
Yes.
Next topic is about the Daily Beast. And,
Well,
it's funny how comments work on the net in terms of this fight over most creative net neutrality and comments on stuff. John Oliver,
who we follow.
Has basically, it's been 8 days since John Oliver's epic internet troll to arms. And
which I have to say, bravo. Hell
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it seems like the user, He starts it off saying, "Good evening, monsters. This may be the moment you've spent your whole lives in training for. We need you to get out there." He beseeches them, "For once in your lives, focus on indiscriminate rage and your indiscriminate rage in a useful direction. Seize the moment and turn off the caps lock and fly, my pretty fly." And they did. And with hours, the comment walls had virtually broken the Federal Communications comment section, and now it's back up after an extended crash, and the section showcases close to 70,000 responses.
Okay, so he just won. It's like net neutrality.
It's you know, he even said it. They say jump, and he says how high.
We have a story coming up that is this going to be? It will lead to people saying, "What is Russia doing now?"
You know, what is Russia doing now? But one person whose title line opted for a slam poetry that says, "I love the FCC too. I think the FCC is wonderful. God bless the FCC for everything they do over here. I'm in love with the FCC. I hope that no more violence and nudity is ever shown on TV again. I have spoken the end." Which is kind of cool. It doesn't make sense. That's kind of cool.
It's like someone's obsessed with the FCC.
Not in the way that we think it. Apparently.
It's like we're trying. And with us, we feel that. It's like FCC what? FCC net neutrality? No.
Well, FCC net neutrality, no. I don't think no for not only anything. You know what I mean?
It's not a no for everything. It's because of a reason.
Well, yeah. The thing is that with net neutrality is pretty much it's very interesting.
I could just say John Oliver and how he basically stirred up the net neutrality thing. So worth it. Because obviously responded. It's like
so worth it and so good. In terms of what he stood up and what he had in terms of what he had and has done, you know. Same with The Daily Show. You know, they have more things to do.
They have so much up their sleeves too. It's like you want them to jump, they will jump.
And to say, I've done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is funny. It is very funny to see everything coming to fruition now.
And I look at it as being like, yes, you have that ability to say, no, shit's not right, and fix it now. Or...
Shit's not right and fix it now. Or you have shit's not right
and let's
do something about it.
And that's what he did in a nutshell. He obviously did it for the right reasons.
Right. And
he's creative about stirring up different topics. It's like, let's discuss it, let's bring it up, and actually say let's do it up and get people talking, which he did, and obviously they reacted.
Kind of succeeded, and people are pissed.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
And apparently he was on one Bugle. There was,
yes, the Bugle.
He was on it, and he may mention how he was going in to promote his new show. And lo and behold, guess who he saw TMZ, and they asked him about this. And it was like
TMZ.
Yes,
Jesus Christ,
yes,
I hate them.
I don't like them either. And if you want to hear what he said about how TMZ was wanting to discuss the net neutrality and how he basically broke the FCC site, you could find that out on the Bugle podcast, which is on iTunes.
Yeah.
And search it up on the web if you don't have iTunes. Either way, it was well worth listening.
I mean, it's well worth listening to, but it's also well worth the thing about his podcast is great in terms of everything. You know what I mean? Because of Andy Zaltzman and him, you get a full dose of satire, which is wickedly funny. I mean, we do satire, but we do satire on individual things. We don't do satire on one different thing, you know?
Right. I think now it's time for a little discussion about how Russia is homophobic.
And Russia
is now causing a catastrophe. It's turning into catastrophe because banks are closing gay people who are gay, transgender, anyone who they think is of that, who is part of the LGBT community. It sounds like they're saying, no, we're closing banks, your bank accounts. According to Russian authorities, they presume that on all kinds of institutions, banks, landlords, employees, not to do business with LGBT people and organizations, because licenses are required by everything in Russia. This pressures. This is fucked up. I'm not even going to go on.
Oh, it's fucked up because, like we said before in the past, the fucked up thing about it is that the government is basically saying, well, what we understand is we don't want you to communicate, right? The other thing.
Shit's going out. and the government must not care because it's reaching our, it's reaching all the way to here. So obviously, Daily Beast, good site, alternative site to news and technology and other things. This is just like, I would love to see Putin come out as as someone who's a part of the LGBT community. I'm so sorry, but it would be hilarious to see him. I'm gay. Please kick me out of country now.
At this point, I don't think that.
I'm being facetious.
I don't think that's gonna happen. But
yeah. Very true.
I don't think that's gonna happen. But in terms of you know, communication and Putin, Putin, I think, lacks communication skills.
Oh, yeah. Clearly.
You know, so far, may we point out, he screwed over the Olympics. The whole atrocity, you know, let's go down the rundown, folks. Okay?
Yes. Yeah.
The whole atrocity came down to, I'm going to screw the gays because I'm going to have the Olympics. Then I'm going to screw the Olympians because, well, the Olympics doesn't matter. Then I'm going to continue my quest and I'm going to divorce my wife, or my wife will divorce me, and then I'm going to screw the gays again. I think, you know, for some apparent reason, okay, I think, and this may be not me, feel free to, you know, debate this on the chat rooms and whatever, what have you. I think Putin is gay.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't be surprising if he says, I'm secretly gay. You know, I've been waiting for that to happen. Announcement.
That was the announcement that we would say, it's about fucking time. It's about time.
And I swear,
let's have a party because people who obviously are who are afraid to come out, they do tend to slowly pick on those who are of that type of
they pick on them because of the fact that the thing is that, you know, Hitler did it to people with disabilities. Hitler did it to people with, you know, all sorts of people. But
right.
He was most famous for drawing up the gays. He's like, oh, the gays, yeah, I have to get the gays. And, you know, that sort of thing.
It's like gay?
But then he developed the master race. Same with pick any dictator in history, all the way up to Gaddafi, or probably past Gaddafi.
It's like,
you know,
they will have
the psychological problems.
Right. Obviously, it's the saddest thing. It's like, yes, I'm going to pick on these people. I'm going to create a master race.
And
oh, I'm going to
or I'm going to create something that it's good that they've created something that, you know, you can sort of, I guess, be.
Be
but
in
once
what
they
sense?
Revolt, well, be in the sense that you are creating something that is very dangerous. That's number one. Okay.
Yeah.
Dangerous to controversy, number two. Controversy stirs people, number three. So now link that all together. And
causes,
Nick Wells, and you have a wall.
Yes, yeah. It's like,
so,
like sentience will only do so much. It's like, well, sentience,
yeah,
or war.
Well, extensions or war, and it's crazy in so many ways. And so many other things.
It's like you're going to want to cause a war. These people are different.
Well,
it's like,
and causing a war because of the fact that you have causing a war because it is necessary is one thing. Causing a war because causing a war because it is not necessary.
Yeah, no.
On. I mean,
it's like,
what
does
are you...
someone mean? To me, it's like, do you need to go to a hospital and get checked? Is in my mind.
I don't think it would be wise to tell, you know, anybody, do you need to go to a hospital and get checked?
But you need something. That's my thing. That's my thing. When it comes down to someone having issues that are far, far from being maintained, I think that question does come into play just a little bit because of this person's sanity. Or lack of,
well,
cruel.
It's cruel in one way, okay? But
I'm looking at it as people's lives are at stake. That's where I look at it.
Well, people's lives are at stake, and I don't think people... I don't think people at that point care.
Right. They want what they want, and they'll try. They'll do whatever is in their power to get it, which is quite sickening.
Right. And it's almost like maggots, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the maggots of... the maggots of, you know, the internet, and the maggots of the
right.
People
right.
think, people think, oh, yes, I can do this. Well, what are you doing?
Right.
You know what I mean? What exactly
oh, yeah.
are you doing?
And then there are no questions asked. And on this podcast, we dare to ask those questions.
And then we go to, and since we have a few minutes, we could actually make mention of another story that it's about a boy or man who's walked. He had his brother on his back, and he was raising awareness for cerebral palsy, which, in my opinion, it's so awesome. That's so cool. That's like you're really making a difference. And it matter. Because once people say, okay, wait, someone's making a difference, then always getting people to say, okay, maybe raising awareness is the best thing to do. Doesn't matter how big or how small you are, doing something that benefits others helps.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And I can't say anything negative about that. That's like,
can't either. And that's a beautiful thing.
And most people will be like, oh no, it's like this person is raising awareness because he has a younger brother that obviously has it. And for that, he definitely needs some major prop. I guess a lot of, actually, so much. It's like there's nothing more I could say because it's such a great thing. Because he wanted to do. And on that note, we'll be back Wednesday at our new time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, which you can find out that information on amcpress.me and amcpressco.com and itsmygirls.com to find out all of our new and interesting things that we're going to be bringing to you guys. On that note, bye.
See you soon. Have a great night, guys.